This is Kinetic Podcast, a podcast for those with a heart for reaching kids. I'm your host, Josh Combs, and each episode you're going to hear practical insights and strategies that will hopefully inspire you to energize your kidmen. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. What's going on, everyone? Thank you so much for listening to Kinetic Podcast. Hope you're having a great week, and I'm very excited about this episode. This is a great conversation that I had with Kendra Schock, who is the student pastor in Covington, Louisiana. And our topic this week is unlocking the preteen code. Because if you're like me, you probably had some awkward years as a preteen, that weird stage between elementary and high school. And I'm sure all of us would like to burn all the pictures from being a 12, 13-year-old and just all the awkwardness that happened. But it's important as kids ministers that we don't neglect, that we don't forget that age group, and that we realize that this is such a crucial time in a student's life. And so in this conversation, I talk with Kendra, who is currently a youth pastor but has also been involved in junior high ministry and has a passion for junior high schoolers. And we talk about some ways that we can connect with them and how we can make sure that there is a smooth and unified transition from the kids ministry to the youth ministry. And so there's some great insights in this episode. I hope it inspires you. I hope it equips you to be more effective in reaching kids. And I hope it energizes your kidmen. So this is Kendra Schock. Well, today on Kinetic Podcast, it is so good to have Kendra Schock, and she is a youth pastor in Covington, Louisiana at The Network under Pastor Paul Chernikost, and she also has some experience in junior high, preteen ministry, and drama ministry, and it is so good to have the one and only Kendra Schock. Kendra, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Josh, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Well, it's so good to have you, and I know we've known each other for a few years now. We met, I believe it was in Louisiana at the campground there, which I know you're involved with the ministry there. So kind of just tell us what's going on right now, where you're at before we get into preteen ministry. And I know you're involved with some of that, but you're involved with other things. So what's going on in Covington, Louisiana? What are you involved with these days?
Down in southeast Louisiana, where it is hot probably about 11 months out of the year, we are 45 minutes away from New Orleans, and we have quite a bit of churches down here. I feel like even though it's very close to the party scene in New Orleans, we have quite a bit of churches in the Bible Belt, and so we have a strong section of young people. With the churches that I'm involved in about three of them. We're in the process of planning a fourth down in The Network. And so I'm kind of working with all of the youth groups here, combining each youth group from each church at a separate campus. And so we meet with the hyphen crew. We meet with junior high students of each campus. We meet with all of them at the same time sometimes. And we have youth services, it feels like, just about every weekend or at least three times a month. So we're getting together quite frequently, and I love it because I get to see just what they're passionate about and what they do and how they love God. So it's quite an adventure. I think, though, and I hope none of them are listening, but I do think that probably my favorite age group is the junior high, the preteen age, because they'll just say anything, you know. They'll do anything you ask them to do. They'll say anything, and they'll give it to you pretty straight. So they're probably my favorite.
Yeah, well, it's definitely never a dull moment with junior high kids. So in today's episode, we're really kind of delving into that, because, and I think one, on just a relational level, we can all relate to, you know, when we were all junior high kids, when we were all preteens. A lot of us don't want to ever think about that time in our lives ever again, or relive it, you know, because it can be a crazy stage in life. It's awkward, and and we're starting to think on our own and figure out our beliefs, and then there's pressures in school. And so what's great about your perspective is you've kind of been on both sides, where you've been right in there with the preteens, and I know you've done some kids ministry as well, and really just connecting with them, and then now as a youth pastor, having preteens coming to your ministry and kind of help them be raised up as teenagers and living for God. And so let's talk about connecting with preteens and getting on their level, as far as someone who maybe is in kids ministry right now. Maybe they're a kids pastor that has preteens in their ministry, or maybe their church has a specific dedicated preteen ministry. And because I know you did that for about 3 years, where you were involved in junior high ministry on a regular basis. So, what are some keys to connecting with kids in that crazy time in their life?
Josh, I don't think there's a secret sauce or just a 1-2-3-step formula or process, because each student is very different. And with the ever-changing hormones flowing through them, and with the ever-changing growth that's happening in their lives, I don't think that they even know who they are from one day to the next. So it can be quite a tricky task. I think that one of the biggest challenges, because I came straight from kids ministry into junior high ministry, and one of the bigger challenges was shifting my avenue of communication. Because whenever you're in kids ministry, you can be afforded an opportunity to speak to them like in a kid voice, or get really excited and really try and push excitement and momentum forward in whatever way you choose. But preteens aren't going to buy that, and because they're trying to be adults. And so what I really thought through was like, okay, my other way of doing this, my other approach of kids ministry is not going to work with these students. So what am I going to do? And in the process of figuring out what I was going to do, I just started to be real with them. And I started treating them like I wanted them to respond to me. And the more that I treated them like adults, because they do want to be older, they do want to be bigger than they are. And so whenever I started talking to them like adults, they started responding to me as best as they could like adults. I had one instance where we were coming in on a Sunday morning, and for whatever reason, all of our staff was either sick or out on vacation, and it was just me with a group of about 45 to 50 junior high students. And so my first initial reaction was going to be panic, but then it just hit me, they can do this. They can, if you treat them like staff members, they can act like staff members. And so there were about three or four of them that were a bit older, 12, probably about to be 13. And so I gathered them together and I said, hey guys, here's the deal. We don't have staff members today, so you're going to have to be the staff members. And you would be shocked. I mean, it just didn't even faze them. They were like, okay, I'll go get on media. I'll go get on light. I'll go make sure the air's okay. Okay, I'm going to go vacuum. I'm going to go do this. And I said, okay, hey, you're really excited, so you need to go stand by the door and you need to greet everybody. And they responded like adults whenever I started treating them like adults. Now, obviously, they're going to be in junior high, and with all of the changes in their body and the chemicals in their body, all of these things, they're definitely going to have highs and lows a lot more frequent than an established adult would. But I think one of the keys is to just channel that passion into a vein of excitement and passion for God and ministry, and showing them that they do have a voice, that they do have a place that they belong, and just treating them like they actually want to be treated. And I think that I've seen it time and time again that they do respond well.
That's awesome. Now, I love that you just had an instance where there was a need and they were able to just jump right in. Now, and your experience when you did that, I know obviously, they were helping out that day, but were there any other opportunities that you gave them? Like, I know, for example, we do this in our ministry, but I've seen other ministries do it where they'll have the preteens maybe help out, in the kids ministry on a regular basis or as leaders and maybe their assistants in classes. Or was there any other instances of kind of kind of just pushing them into those roles, or not pushing them, but giving them opportunities to be in those leadership roles?
Yes, absolutely. And of course, you know, that's very dependent on the ultimate leader's wisdom, you know, of how you would maybe gauge their maturity on where you would put them. But I would try and create more jobs for them that the staff didn't have to do, where the staff was mostly in a crowd control ish, more of a teaching environment, and more of like intermingling, you know, hearing about their lives. But as far as running sound, running media, taking up offering, sixth graders can do that. You know, they've been raised in a world with screens, whereas, you know, us, even in the millennial generation, you know, we didn't grow up in a world with screens everywhere. And they did, and they know how to operate a lot of that by themselves. So there were definitely times where what I would do is I would say, hey, to a sixth grader, hey, I need you to take up the offering. I need you to go and just walk down this way and smile at everybody, and, you know, just give them very clear direction so that they know where the bar is, whether they could pass or fail the assignment, and then encourage them, hey, man, you did a great job with that. There's nobody in this world that can take up an offering like you. I'm telling you, you just had that red velvet bag with that gold-plated thing. You just passed that offering like you were made to pass the offering. You know, and honestly, they can tell whenever you're hyping it up, and they start laughing too, and then you start creating a relationship with them. But most definitely, I would probably encourage the older preteens to start being in charge over some of the younger kids, maybe like, you know, 4, 5, and 6, obviously under some supervision, you know, and under some mentorship, if you will. But there are definitely jobs, there are definitely opportunities for every student. But the key is to take time and see what they like to do. There are some kids that are so shy that they can't speak to anyone. That's probably not the best person to put over greeting people at the door, you know.
Right.
But that might be an incredible person to say, hey, there's a list of all these birthdays. Can you help me write some cards? You know, can you help me write some postcards out to send happy birthdays? And they're like, oh, okay, sure. You know, it's just a matter of taking time to get to know their strengths and weaknesses.
Definitely. And you know, I think that's key, is as a leader, knowing, you know, seeing a preteen, seeing a teenager, and saying, okay, hey, they would do great in this role as opposed to this role, and that can help build on their strengths. Now, one thing you said there was key, I think, is building relationships. And it seems like with preteens especially, building relationships is key, you know, because you want to, like you said, we want to be real with them, and just having a relationship with them, getting to know them is key. So what are some ways that kids leaders can do that? Is it, you know, having preteen events where they're just hanging out? Is it, you know, taking preteens out to, you know, to get a snack or get frozen yogurt, or just, you know, what are some practical ways that the leaders can do that?
Definitely time. That I've heard it said so many times, and it's the truth, that teenagers spell love, T-I-M-E. And it's the absolute truth. There are so many things. There was a statistic, and I hesitate even sharing it because I can't give like correct citation or a bibliography for it. But there was a statistic that I read recently that said that most people forget the events that happened surrounding the ages of 11 to 14, because there's so much transition that it creates so much internal trauma in the mind that the mind is just programmed to block out. And that's why, you know, we can see pictures of how awkward we look, and I pray to God that none of them resurface of me during that time, because it was such a strange time. But there are so many times where we struggle to remember certain things of what happened during that time, because there was so much internal transition that the brain just codes as trauma. But I can remember specifically every youth leader that took time, and I still have certain note cards that they wrote me. We can't save text messages, unfortunately. I mean, I'm sure we could like screenshot and print them out, but there's a certain level of oxytocin, and it's actually a chemical, a thing that is released in the brain whenever another human being recognizes that there was more time spent on them than usual. And there's a certain level of that chemical oxytocin that's actually released inside of preteens' brains whenever they do receive a card or whenever they do spend more time than usual with a person. And it creates an element of happiness inside of them where they associate that person with happy memories. And so, and this isn't, I don't feel like a hocus pocus, you know, a manipulation of, oh, we want to create our leaders to be, you know, just associated with like the best thing in the world. But honestly, this is our main goal of associating Jesus Christ with the happiest thing in our lives, with associating Jesus Christ as the joy, you know, that gives us strength from day to day. And so with that, I think that leaders can be excellent conduits of just practical ways of, yes, spending time with them, writing them cards. And it can be just, you know, two sentences. Hey, miss you, love you, think you're incredible. You're kind of awkward, but so am I. And they'll keep it forever. I tried this experiment with some of our young boys, actually, that are 11 and 12, because obviously it's, you know, you can get into a lot of trouble and it wouldn't be entirely appropriate for just a 27-year-old girl to go pick up a random 12-year-old boy and go take him to frozen yogurt under the circumstances of America these days. And then, you know, just in general. So what I would do is I would send them cards in the mail, because obviously there's accountability. It goes through a parent. And I would send them cards and I'd say, hey, I believe in you. You're a great man of God. You know, and I'd sign a scripture at the bottom. It probably took me about 3 minutes to do, you know, and then just putting it in the mail. And I received recently, actually, a text that one guy had saved. He never spoke a word to me in class, ever. He would barely even hug me whenever I passed by. But he saved every one of those cards and taped them up on his mirror. And his mom said that he would recite those scriptures every single day. And he never spoke to me. So I never knew that there was actually progress happening in that young man's life. But there was something happening because I was taking some extra time to do that. So yes, there are ways, but again, that goes back to knowing your students, you know, being wise leaders and saying, okay, this kid is lactose intolerant. I probably shouldn't take him for ice cream. You know,
right.
this kid really loves video games. Maybe I can find a video game and just sit down and play it with him. So there's definitely different ways, but it does take time to sit down and figure it out.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the key there is just those little things that we would think that are not that big of a deal, but to a preteen, they're a big deal. That, hey, someone took the time out to, you know, say hi to me or give me a high five, or, you know, those things are make a huge impact. So that's very encouraging. So we've kind of dove into the whole aspect of, you know, connecting with preteens, and, you know, and building relationships with them. Now let's kind of go on the other side, because, you know, as a youth pastor or a youth leader, you know, when you have preteens, that come into your ministry, you know, you obviously want to get them engaged, and you don't want them to stay in that awkward, you know, stage forever, but you want them, as they grow, to become, you know, teenagers, you know, that are on fire for God. And then as a kids pastor, you know, you want to make sure that you're preparing them for that. And, you know, when I say preparing, you know, we don't want our, you know, when our kids are 13, we want it to be more than just they know how to sit in a service or they know how to politely worship, but they're spiritually mature and they're ready, you know, to go to that next level. So, you know, being on both sides of that aisle, what are some ways that we can make sure that, yes, we're connecting with them, we're building relationships, but also on a spiritual level, you know, we want to make sure that they're sensitive to the Spirit of God, that they have a hunger for the things of God. So what are some of the key things, you know, that we can make sure that our kids are spiritually ready, you know, to go to that next level?
You know, Josh, I think like you, I've seen it go really well and I've seen it go really wrong. And I think the difference is, number one, a healthy relationship between the kids pastor and the student pastor. A healthy relationship of knowing what they're being taught, maybe being very intentional about creating opportunities so that while they're in that fifth, sixth grade strange time or whatever the cutoff is, but bridging the gap between student ministry and children's ministry, I think is very, very important. Maybe a once a quarter, some sort of bringing them in, or having a shadow night so that they don't just like walk across a hallway and it's like, oh, welcome to your new classroom. We're going to throw you and feed you to the sharks. You know, because that can be very scary for a preteen. Also, I think that it's very imperative that the student pastor create a healthy culture to where your older teenagers, you know, maybe some of your juniors, your seniors, your hyphens, that you keep it in front of them and very aware that, hey, remember how awkward this time was. You know, we need to get behind these students, especially our new ones, and celebrate them and say, hey, that's so cool. You still like dinosaurs? That's fine. I know of like two dinosaurs. Let's just talk about them. You know, just finding some sort of way of connecting some of our older ones with our younger ones and really creating a healthy culture of unity. That was something huge that we have an odd system here where they promote no matter what the day that they turn 13. So they could be 12 years old on a Saturday, and then on a Sunday, you know, if they're 13, they go straight to youth class with no nothing. They just walk down the hall and there they are. And so one of the things that we're actually trying to create right now in our student ministry in Covington is having one of those older students just at the door on those Sundays whenever we know that we have one moving up, just, you know, taking them in. If it's a girl, you know, get an older girl. If it's a guy, get an older guy. Just sitting with them, talking with them, and really promoting a healthy culture of unity with that. Also, I think that it's very important that even though they are coming out of student ministry, or excuse me, children's ministry as the top dog, you know, per se, that they're the oldest ones, it's a wild transition of coming into like a brand new arena, if you will, of being the underdog. And I feel like, again, it's very imperative for the kids pastor and the student pastor to have a healthy communication line of like, hey, this kid, I haven't really figured out what's going on with this kid, but I know he might be great on your media team, or he might be great, you know, doing this. Hey, this one, actually, he can handle himself well in the pulpit. He might be great to give a devotion. And then immediately taking those students, if your culture is right in your student ministry, taking those students and immediately implementing them into leadership and immediately implementing them into some teams. If, you know, if their maturity is really up to par, and really infusing them into the youth group very well, and so that it would be just a culture that knows how to turn it over, that knows how to encourage the next generation, that knows how to just, you know, bring everybody along together and really, really work together in unity. I think that that's very, very important. Also, I think that it's very important for, and this might be a rabbit trail, so just cut me off.
It's all good.
For student pastors to kind of push the urge, or maybe sometimes the tendency to be annoyed with sometimes the preteen's immaturity with all of the changes, and capitalize on the wild changes that's happening inside of them. For example,
yeah.
I'm seeing a 13-year-old that has just transferred into our youth group, and he knows so many facts about so many things, and it's like, even some of our hyphens, they're like, I don't know how he knows these things. Like, we don't know how. They're like, you go walking encyclopedia. Like, how does he know all of these things? You know, and so we're teaching patience with that. But what I've seen with him is that wild passion for knowledge that we've never seen him pray, we've never seen him do anything, and that now that he's in the presence of God, how this is coming out inside of him, all of these changes, all of these emotional things that obviously preteens go through, he is one of our top worshipers in the altar. And it's amazing, Josh. He will just sit there and he will receive for I don't know how long. And with that, we cannot just dismiss that as, oh, that's a preteen just settling into his emotions. We have to capitalize on those things as that's a gift. You know, that's a gift that they feel emotions so intensely right now. They may only feel it for 5 seconds because their bodies are changing. But if they feel that right there, that we need to encourage that and just come along and take intentional moments and say, that's the presence of God, and recognize every single moment as a teaching moment, and then hopefully create a healthy culture to where even if we're busy and we miss that, then one of our hyphens can come along, or one of our seniors or juniors in high school can come along because they've seen us do that and say, hey, this is the presence of God. You have a talent. You have a knack. You have such a hunger for seeking the presence of God. You know what? You would be a great worship leader, even in the altar. You would, you know, and just creating a culture of encouragement, I think, is just very important.
I love that. And I think the foundation that you already mentioned of what you're talking about is having that healthy relationship, that smooth transition, you know, between the kids ministry and the youth ministry. And I think sometimes, you know, and again, it's not done intentionally, but I think sometimes that can be kind of be the link that's forgotten, that we're, you know, we're focused on our kids ministry, the youth pastors focused on the youth ministry. And then sometimes we forget that, hey, we need to be linking together. You know, we need to be reaching the same for the same objectives, the same goals. So that's kind of, let's kind of unpack that a little bit more. So let's say a scenario of a kids pastor and a youth pastor are sitting down together, and their ultimate goal is, hey, you know, let's have some objectives and some goals here. We're working together as a team that, you know, when a child leaves the kids ministry, you know, that we want certain things to be reached for. So that way when they're in the youth ministry, that there are certain things that we want them to attain spiritually and certain levels that they want to go that they can't go unless it's covered in the kids ministry. So what would be some goals or objectives or whatever word you want to put on it? What would be some milestones for the kids pastor and the youth pastor to kind of, you know, synchronize on and to collaborate on of, okay, hey, these are things we need to make sure that together that spiritually our students are reaching?
I would say that is all dependent on the pastor's vision.
Okay.
I would say that that it would be very important for the kids pastor and the student pastor to sit down with the pastor at some point and say, where would you like to see these students by the age of 12? Where would you like to see these students by the age of 18? Where would you like to see these students by the age of 21? Where would you like to see these students by the age of 5? Really, you know, what is your vision for some benchmarks of where we need to be going? And I think that would eliminate a lot of confusion. But some common goals, and actually, you know what, Josh, some common mistakes is that student pastors really, and this does translate into kids pastors also, they put too much pressure on themselves and they put too much pressure on students, because at the end of the day, we can have groups of talented students, even talented kids that don't even know the books of the Bible, that don't know why we believe what we believe, that really don't even know how to pray. And so what I would think of some common goals would be, obviously, aside from whatever the pastor would sit down and set, I think some common goals that that every kids pastor would probably want to prepare a student for whenever they enter student ministry is: know how to pray, be comfortable in praying, be comfortable in expressing yourself in worship the way that God made you and the way that you communicate to God, knowing how to read your Bible and receive from it. You know, it amazes me sometimes that we start teaching our children about nutrition and healthy diets and all of these things, but we don't teach them how to self-feed on the Word of God. You know, and there's no child too young for that. There's no kid or no student too young for that. And so to teach them how to feed their spiritual bodies, to teach them how to communicate with God, because Jesus never dismissed a child. And I mean, every children's minister knows this and loves that passage, you know, as their bread and butter. But Jesus never dismissed a child because they see the kingdom of God so clearly. They see him clearly than adults do. Absolutely. So I think a common goal to just prepare them into student ministry for changes and life changes and crazy things that happen that they're completely unaware of that will happen, that they can in no way be prepared for, setting a sure foundation, setting a solid foundation to where they can start building their houses on the rock. So I feel like that's a definite common goal in worship, prayer, the word, loving others, beginning to know how to communicate to others. I mean, even if it's on the playground, talk to them about how to share the gospel, how to do these things, just some basic things. Because what I'm starting to see in student ministry is whenever those gaps are missing, that it just creates a domino effect, or I guess the tumbleweed effect, if you will, that it only just grows and just gets bigger and bigger, and it's harder and harder to dismantle.
Yeah. And what you said there was key, is relationship, making sure they know how to have a relationship with God, which is such a simple yet extremely important and profound thing that's essential being a Christian. So those are some great tips, and not just tips, but just a great direction. And I love what you said about sitting down with the student pastor, sitting down with the pastor, and just making sure there's that coherent vision that everyone has, which is going to make all ministries involved way more effective. So that's incredible. So Ken, you're just closing out, and I know you're going to be modest about this, but I've had the experience to witness your amazing, I don't know what you call it, drama skills. I know you've been involved in a lot of skits and plays, and I know you do a lot of things at the Louisiana campground when they do their big Adventure Time plays. But I also know things like that, preteens, older kids, they love, kids of all ages love those kind of things. But what are some methods in teaching preteens that you have found to be effective and that connects with them on their level?
I have found that ingesting the Word of God, like Jesus was really on to something. I know that sounds so pretentious, but I mean, there's a reason that he taught in parables. There was a reason that he taught in stories, because he created pictures in people's minds of what the kingdom of God was like. He said it so many times, the kingdom of God is like unto, and he would make these similarities that it was easy for people to understand. I think that's something very key for any leader, and Josh, this, especially with working with children, is knowing that Bible story inside and out, studying that Bible story, and then translating it how God has shown it to you, and translating that into words, and maybe painting a picture of that with your words, or maybe painting a picture of that in a skit. And students love to get involved in those things, especially preteens, because like I said, we could go into a science lesson here about how they're expressive one minute and then they're, bipolar the next, and you don't know what's going on, with everything that's happening inside of their brain. But I promise you, any chance that they can get involved with that, even if they are shy, that goes back to relationships of knowing, like, okay, he's really shy or she's really shy. Maybe she would like to just kind of organize the props in the back, or maybe she would like to keep the list of all of these things. There's always something that you can do with them with that. I do think that if you do have a team of preteens that would like to be involved in something like that, of helping you illustrate the point, I think that it really helps them learn how to work on a team very early. Even if you don't give it to them completely, if you say, hey, I have something in my message that I'd really like for you to help me out with, and you pick three or four of them, it really starts to teach them about team building early. And so you could just be thinking that you're preparing a message, but really you could be doing something that has an additional effect of teaching them how to work on a team together and do that, if you wanted to capitalize on that teaching moment. I do think in this day of media and all kinds of things, I think that it is very, it's very important to capitalize on social media of these short clips. Whenever Vine, the app Vine, came out, it trained all of our brains to look at something in 7 seconds. And now that we have Instagram stories, I think it's something like close to 15 or 30 seconds. And then Instagram videos are about a minute long. So our brains are trained now with this day and age to just see things that are very quick, and so are theirs. So I do feel like that we shouldn't dismiss just the power of just a 15-second funny video clip that can illustrate the point, whether we do it or whether we, you know, formulate a skit or something like that. I definitely think that that there's a lot of power in visual media with them now. And definitely if they're interested in drama, if they're interested in making the story come alive in a different way, I would definitely scout out that talent and maybe pass that on up the ranks or facilitate that in whatever system that your church has for creativity or creative teams, most definitely.
Love that. That's awesome. Are there any books, resources that you'd recommend to, you know, kids ministers, preteen ministers that are kind of looking to get ideas or just to be educated on this? Anything that's helped you out that you could pass along?
You know, I read the most depressing book that really helped me in this, and it's one of the only ones that I would recommend. It's called Alone by Andy Brainer, or Bronner. I'm really not sure, but it's Brainer, and it's called Alone. Okay. It's got a green cover, and it definitely talks about people feeling alone in their mind, but it really helps you get inside of a preteen's mind of exactly how alone they're feeling, the different things that they fight through, the different things that they struggle through, how we shouldn't just casually dismiss them, you know, as adults that have jobs and pretend like we haven't been where they are before. And it was a huge impact on the way that I think and the way that I see them. But that is definitely a good resource. Also, I hesitate recommending this because I have not read it myself. Several of my trusted friends have read it, but they have recommended the book Sustainable Youth Ministry by Mark DeVries. I have it on my table. I have not read it. I can't put my stamp on it. Trusted friends have. But if any of you read that before me and you say that it's great, I'm just gonna kick myself that you read it before I did. So that's the only other resource that I've heard about. But I definitely recommend Alone by Andy Brainer.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Kendra, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I know I've been blessed personally, and I know there's going to be others that will get a lot out of this episode. And just helping us all just be more effective, reaching preteens and just helping them cultivate a relationship with God, which is that's what it's all about. So, Kendra, thank you so much for being on this episode.
Hey, thank you so much, Josh. I enjoyed it.
And thank you for listening to Kinetic Podcast. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time.